The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. Once again, this session is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas, Rabbi Avrom Zev, Ben Rabbi Yaakov, Dr. Abraham Shames. We discussed in the previous two sessions a number of the issues that have to do with the difficulties in life, some of the issues that help put it in perspective, trying to see that there may be some way to deal with and to understand it, some sense of the opportunity that it provides in enhancing a relationship with Hashem and how that relationship can help console and heal and uplift us from the difficulties that we do face in life. However, I think there remains one issue, broad issue at that, which would be worthwhile discussing, and I guess that could broadly be called bitochon, trust in Hashem. Trust in Hashem has many benefits and many different dynamics, but understanding in what we trust and in whom we trust and maybe in why we trust can really help appreciate the concept and to allow us to benefit from its offerings for us. And I think basic idea was expressed by David HaMelech when he described to us, he says, Va'ani, and I, b'chastecho botachti. I have trusted in your kindness. The chesed of Hashem, the kindness of Hashem, is really the object of our trust. And I think this is a very basic, simple, and yet profound concept. And what I mean is as follows. We know, Olam chesed yibone. The entire development, creation, and existence of the world is based on kindness. Hashem had no need for this world, nor for any of its people or issues. Created it only to bestow kindness. To bestow kindness created people, created issues, created needs. You know, created a system to earn the kindness so that the kindness should even be more deeply felt and appreciated. And to do chesed to the world. And everything about Hashem, he's kulei chesed, he's ki le'olam chastoi. His chesed is forever, his chesed is eternal, his chesed is all-encompassing. And it's really the essence. Coupled with that, there is also a sense of rachamim, of mercy. And that refers to the response and the feeling that Hashem kaviyochel, because he doesn't have human feelings as we know them, but the equivalent of feeling the pain and the suffering of others and feeling sorrow for us and pain for us in our difficulties. And when we combine the chesed and the rachamim, I say Hashem's infinite kindness and his mercy that he feels for us, knowing the fullness of the magnitude and the scope of those ki'ilu, if you will, emotions or attributes which resemble or which we can only understand in the human terminology, that gives us a sense of confidence that he's going to respond to our needs. He cares. He loves. He feels our pain. He desires more than anything else to do chesed, to do kindness. And therefore that begins to inspire in us a sense of trusting him. We trust him. Now, we know that one of the approaches, or one of the ways, one of the formats, there are a number of them, of trusting Hashem, is trusting that he's going to deliver. He's going to deliver. I need something. I need my parnosa. I need health. I need nachas. I need a yeshua, whatever it is. And I've so focused and pondered and delved into the depths and emotionally internalized the realization of Hashem's chesed, his kindness and his rachamim and his mercy, that emotionally I just begin to feel a sense of confidence, a sense of reliance. First it starts with a sense of hope, and then it becomes more of a reliance, and then it becomes a confidence and an absolute trust that he's going to help me. He's not going to turn me away. He as David HaMelech said, Elikai Hashem, he said, my God, b'cho botachti, I trusted in you, Aleph Oisha, I shouldn't be embarrassed. We shouldn't be embarrassed because we trusted you. I'm so confident he's not going to let me be embarrassed because of a false trust that I put in him, but that trust is going to assure that he delivers. Now that being one of the concepts of trust, the truth be told, there's even a higher level of trust which says that I so trust Hashem's kindness that it doesn't matter to me what he does, whether he delivers or he doesn't, whether he gives or he doesn't. David HaMelech said, Chesed u'mishpot oshira. I will say hallel and sing praises to Hashem for his kindness and for his mishpot and for his justice that he meets out to me. Because to me, I have such a confidence in his kindness that I don't even sense the difference. I don't even feel the difference. I'm not even interested in the difference. Same thing. Do chesed, do mishpot. It's all the same to me. That's a much higher level, probably way beyond what most of us are capable of achieving in a real sense. We might be able to mouth the words, but you know, on a lower level, we probably recognize it to be true, but to really feel it is very difficult. But to feel that even this is a difficult one, but I'm confident Hashem's going to help me. I just know he cares. I just know he's there. I just know he's all-powerful. I just know he loves. I just know he's full of chesed and rachamim, and he's going to help me, going to deliver. One of the things that the Chivas HaLevava says as a condition to this feeling, this sense of bitochen, is that I also have to realize that if he doesn't respond, I'm willing to accept that also. And the question is, if the bitochen that I have says that he's going to respond, I'm confident, I'm sure, I'm 100% sure that he's going to respond, then why is one of the conditions that if he doesn't respond, what do you mean if he doesn't respond? He's going to respond. And obviously, I think what it means is really very simple. If I'm trusting that he's going to respond, then it's an absolute. And my trust is he's going to respond. But the real trust in Hashem is I'm trusting in his kindness. Because I know his kindness to the ultimate, therefore I'm counting on him to respond. If that's the case, if he doesn't respond, since my trust was based on the ultimate knowledge and the depths of feeling of his kindness, then if he doesn't respond, I take that as kindness too, because my trust was he is so merciful and kind, and therefore he's going to respond, which means even if he doesn't respond, I am confident in that mercy and I accept it as an act of kindness, as an act of chesed. And I think that really has to be the concept that we have to develop. A person has to be totally confident in Hashem's chesed. I know Hashem always does chesed. I know ki le'olam chasdoi. I know that everything that he did in the past is all part of an infinite source of chesed that he continues to do to this very day, as we say in the davening, that he's mechadesh betuvai b'chol yom tomid ma'asei v'reishis. He rejuvenates creation every single day, because the Pasuk says, the one we praise, the one who makes, not he made. He's constantly making the great lights, because forever his chesed is ongoing, his chesed is forever. And I'm confident that his chesed, his rachamim, his love, his concern, his sensitivity, his care, his involvement is all there for me at all times. And therefore, I find the strength to trust that he will deliver in times of difficulty. And I find the strength to rely that even when it doesn't seem to me to be working the way I would have wanted to see it orchestrated, I'm quite confident in his chesed and rachamim nonetheless. I think if we develop this sense of bitochon, then it becomes easier for us to survive the difficulties of life. To be grieving for a loss, whereas at the same time to be supportive to a family, becomes much less of a challenge. Because as pained as I am at the loss, I know intellectually, and I even feel emotionally, in a way that maybe is beyond my comprehension, but Hashem's chesed does not cease. And even if I can't comprehend the chesed in the particular difficulty that he has cast upon me, but I could find that confidence in everything else surrounding it, and the awareness of his chesed to give me the strength to go on, to give me the strength to continue, to give me the strength to inspire others, to give me the strength to uplift myself, my family, and my community, and lead them in an almost aggressive approach to closer relationship with Hashem, because of the feelings of chesed that I have developed. And sometimes when we're in the deepest problems and the grief and the pain is so great, it's from that point that we come to recognize Hashem even more. It's like, you know, on the Amunah level, they always say there's no atheists in the foxhole. Well, there's an enhanced bitochon to the one who's in need, to the one who needs that sense of confidence in Hashem and in his kindness and his mercy to survive, to that person. It swells within him that a greater sense of bitochen. And this has to be understood as an ongoing battle. We find by the Ovois, we find by Chazal, we find by the Gedolei Olam, Tanoim, Amoraim, that their bitochen was more at times than it was at other times. It's a constant battle. We need constant chizuk. In fact, the davening that we do three times a day, the Vilna Goyim tells us that the word tefillah, the shirish of the word tefillah, is like an optimistic thought. He says it comes from the posuk Roi Ponecho Loi Piloti. Yaakov said to Yosef when he met him after being separated for so many years, he says, I never allowed myself, Loi Meloani Li Milachshav Rashi, he says, I never allowed myself to have any positive, optimistic thoughts that I ever see again. It's optimistic thinking. Tefillah is like a confidence in Hashem. And it's a system, and we do it every day. We do it three times a day. And it's all about developing that confidence in Hashem. When we make a brocha, we say, Baruch Ato Hashem. You're the source of all brocha. You, I have this personal, Loshen Noichach. I'm directly speaking to you, Hashem, who's the master of all and has all power, and therefore there's nothing that's beyond his control. And he's the Baal HaRachamim. He has mercy on us and cares for our situation in life and feels our pain. And when I constantly inspire myself every day of my life in greater bitochen, every moment of the day, every time I say the Shemoneh Esrei, I'm a different human being. I've elevated myself in bitochen b'Hashem, and with that enhanced elevation comes a new level of strength, a new level of ability to cope, a new level of tranquility and happiness, and the ability to help all those around me to go on. And of course, this is what has to be focused on when one feels that they don't have the strength to go on again and again and again. I'm at the brink of despair, and I have to begin to think, despair is not a Jewish word. There's no such thing as despair. What am I despairing of? What am I despairing? Hashem is in total control, and He cares, and He loves. And He may not necessarily communicate to me nor give me the capability to understand everything He does and the dynamics and the reasons behind all of His chesed. But everything that He does is chesed v'rachamim. And it goes even further. When He has inflicted pain, and when I accept that pain, And I use that pain to rise above it and say, I trust in his chesed. I believe in his chesed. I know his rachamim. I know he cares. I know he feels. I can put my confidence in him. That's like a unique opportunity to rise to a higher level of confidence. And anytime a person feels shaky, has to rededicate himself to that lesson, to that learning, to that confidence. How do we inspire this type of bitochon in Hashem? Well, there are many efforts. One of the efforts actually takes place in about an hour from now on Wednesday evenings, and that's our shir in the Chovis Halavovos Shara Bitochon. That's studying. Studying the laws, studying the concepts, studying the Torah involved in the feelings and emotions of bitochon certainly help to inspire one's bitochon. But there are other ways as well, and tefillah, of course, inspires that as well, because when I'm turning to Hashem in prayer, I'm relying on Him, I'm counting on Him. Why am I turning to Him? Because I'm confident that He cares, that He's going to respond, that He's there for me. But I think there's something else which can also help us to develop a bitochon in Hashem. And it has to do, I think, with life's experiences. Oftentimes, we have our own life's experiences. Sometimes, we have to rely on others' life's experiences to find that inspiration. And I dare say, to find the inspiration to discover and experience those life's experiences in our own life. Once had a very interesting story at one of the seminars that we put on, and an outreach seminar to not yet religious people. It was in Los Angeles, and a young man who was there became very enamored and interested in everything that was going on. And I gave a whole talk about bitochon and trusting Hashem and how Hashem gets involved in our lives. And if we trust Him, then we see more His hashkocha protis, His intimate involvement in our daily existence and so forth and so on. He's very taken by this, and he goes home and shares this with his family, whatever. 6 months later, I return to Los Angeles for a follow-up lecture. And this young man is waiting to speak to me. He says, I got to tell you what happened. I came home the day after the seminar, and my mother was very distraught. She was a single parent. She had to marry off a daughter Thursday night that week. He came home on a Sunday night. And she was short $15,000 for the wedding, and she was beside herself with what to do. He says that he started to tell her, he says, no, you have to realize Hashem gets involved in our lives, and if we trust Him, and He helps us, and to the degree that we can muster the trust and His kindness, it's to that degree that we can influence the results that take place. And he's giving her this whole speech that he learned, and maybe she looked a little askance, but she heard it. It happened that next day that someone who had purchased, she had a little business, she was selling costume jewelry. Someone who had purchased a necklace from her, brought it back. She says, I brought this back for the fifth time. The clasp breaks every time. I don't want you to send it to your jeweler to fix and to look at it. I just want my money back. Give me my $20 back and leave me alone. I'm not interested. She gives her money back, but she's very curious. Like, why is it this necklace keeps on breaking? And she brings it to her jeweler, and he puts on his thing, and he looks at it, and he says, I'll give you $15,000. $15,000 for this necklace. It wasn't costume jewelry. She needed $15,000 to marry off her daughter, and she sold this necklace for $15,000, because five times after she had sold it for $20, thinking it was costume jewelry, the woman finally, it's not working, it breaks, the clasp breaks, she came back, she threw it back on her, she wasn't interested in keeping it any longer. Now, this young man tells me, he says, had I not been aware of this, I don't believe it would have happened, because my mother wouldn't have been inspired and I wouldn't have been inspired with that trust. And I don't believe we would have even recognized it happening, even had it happened, because I wasn't aware. But he says, now with this awareness, I see a whole new lease on life. I see a whole new perspective. And this is really what we have to do. We have to look into these things and find the hand of Hashem in everything in life and see His chesed, and from that chesed extrapolate the realization that to the degree that we put our trust in Him, it's to that degree that He is with us, that He is there for us, because He cares, because He loves, because He takes care of every detail of our lives. And I want to maybe at this point share with you a couple of personal stories which in my own life have enabled me to grow and to find strength. And I think that if we learn from others this Hashgocha Protis and Hashem's kindness, Rachamim Chesed, and how our trust in Him makes all the difference, then we can begin to expand it to our own lives. We'll see incidents in our lives that we never recognized or realized or even that ever happened, and we'll be able to grow ourselves further and further in this inyan of bitochen. But I think that, and I think maybe personally in my life, this this journey to a greater appreciation of bitochen in Hashem started in a very painful way. Well, it's sort of after having spent a year in community and having developed there a yeshiva that was doing quite well, actually two yeshivas for girls, for boys, two programs, and there was a Malava Malka for the girls division, and someone was speaking, a speaker was speaking, and told a story. A story of an elderly couple who had not had any children, they went to a Chassidish Rebbe, and the Rebbe gave them a brocha, and then they had a child. The child lived for five beautiful years, and then the child passed away, and the couple was extremely distraught, and she was too old to have children, and they went back to the Rebbe, and they couldn't understand what was going on. And the Rebbe tells them, I'll tell you what happened. Tells them the following story. He says, many years ago, there was a great tzaddik, a ger tzaddik, who lived a super righteous life. He converted when he was 5 years old, and he lived the life of a giant, of a tzaddik. And when he passed away, he comes to heaven, and he was told that he's on top, leilo leilo. Except he has 5 years in his life that he was lacking because he was a goy at the time. So the decree or the advice was to go back into the world as a gilgul. In other words, his neshama will return in the body of this newborn child and live for 5 years, complete a life of kedusha, and the 5 years that were lacking, and then he will pass on. He says, that neshama was the neshama in your child. Your child carried with him this great neshama, and he had to return to the world for 5 years. And after those 5 years, his mission was completed, and he left, and you were privileged to bring this holy neshama into the world. Now, may or may not be an important story, but at the time, I was extremely disturbed that, you know, a Malava Malka, kids should have a good time. Like, what are you telling them such a sad and almost morbid story? Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, I was together with my wife on a plane to Eretz Yisrael for the levaya, for the funeral of my 5.5-year-old son who had been in an accident and passed away. And we're sitting on the plane going to Israel for the burial, and all of a sudden it strikes me, and I look at my wife and I say, he was talking to us. That story was a message for us. It was surely an inappropriate choice for Malava Malka for the kids to enjoy, but it was undoubtedly a message from Hashem to give us the strength to go on. This concept of a neshama that comes into this world that has its mission to complete, and at that point it expires, and that was in fact a privilege that a family has, to be privileged to service and to benefit that great and holy neshama. Well, I used to try to speculate as to whose neshama, but that's something my wife would not tolerate. You know, that's going beyond the rational. Anyway, but this was such a chesed from Hashem, that in the midst of such pain and suffering, in the midst of such a moment of devastation, to have been, as we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechin refuah kodem lamako. He prepares the trufa, the medicine. He prepares the healing even before he gives inflicts the mako, the pain. So that before it even happened, 2 weeks before, it was already being prepared a story which would connect with us and give us that sense of chizuk in being able on some level to better cope with this tragedy. And finding the chesed Hashem in the most devastating and painful moments, and seeing his involvement in the positive aspects of the difficulties in life, is sometimes a unique measure of chizuk, because he's so involved. Pain is being inflicted, tragedy has occurred, but yet he softens the blow and he orchestrates events to come about. In fact, poor choices of stories that people even make at the wrong occasion, which just happened to be divinely addressed and directed to the appropriate source, to give chizuk, to give strength, to give uplifting. And these are the types of things that we have to discover in life. We were privileged that on the return from Eretz Yisrael, on the very plane that brought us back to Los Angeles, sitting in the back of the plane was the first group of young yeshiva bochrim who came to our community, who really were responsible for the development of a real yeshiva and all of the amazing growth over the decades, the last decades, that was all begun with this particular group of yeshiva bochrim, and returning together with them from such a situation was once again on the same plane such a chizuk, that Hashem is with us despite the difficulties of life. And if we discover his chesed in the midst of life's difficulties, that gives us the strength to find renewed faith in him and in his kindness, and to be able to develop a trust in him that can help us through all of the difficulties of life. Think of many incidences over the years, and especially in those days as this yeshiva developed, that truly served as opportunities to find chizuk, find strengthening in one's trust in Hashem. One story comes to mind that the yeshiva had been developing for a few years, and a lot of its graduates had gone on to study in yeshivas in New York and in Israel. And one summer they were back home for the vacation, and a group of about five or six beautiful, accomplished yeshiva bochrim were discussing with me the possibility of remaining in the community for the coming year and studying in the small bis medrash that we had. And the only condition would be that, besides just giving a shir every day, my commitment would be to spend 4 hours a day, the first seder, till 1 o'clock, whatever, in the bis medrash, to be there for them, talking to them, learning with them, and so forth. And I told them I would love to be able to do it. It would be a thrill and a privilege and an opportunity. But I had so much carryover debt from the previous years, so much that had to be accounted for in terms of fundraising for the coming year and so many other responsibilities with all of our programs there that I can't see how I could possibly make a commitment to sit in the Bais Medrash for 4 hours a day. However, I don't like to give quick answers, you know, rash answers. I said, give me 24 hours and I'll be happy to give you an answer. I went home, discussed it with my wife, and she says to me, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in the third parak of Pirkei Avos, Omer Reb Nechunya ben Hakona. Reb Nechunya ben Hakona said, HaMekabel Olov Oil Toiro, Maviren Bimeno Oil Malchus Vel Derech Eretz. One who accepts upon himself the burden of Torah, then miraculously, Maviren will be removed from him the burden of Malchus, which is government, taxes, payroll taxes, for Derech Eretz, and sustenance, making a living, making parnosa. She says, be makabel. I decided I was makabel. The next morning, I went back and I told these young bochum, I said, starting Rosh Chodesh Elul, the morning Seder, I'm in the Bais Medrash. That's the deal. No problem. That night, I meet a young man who says, I have something for you. My father would like to talk to you. He has some idea. Maybe, you know, call his father up. He says he has an individual in one of his buildings who's very, very deathly ill, has no family, no one to help him. He's all by himself. He needs help getting food. He needs help taking care of his basic needs. He's certainly in terrible, terrible condition. And maybe the yeshiva boys could go in and help him. And then he throws in the sentence, like, who knows, you know, he may have a couple of dollars. And maybe he could, you know, leave it to the yeshiva. Okay, go in, I meet with him, try to help him a little bit, send in the yeshiva bochum, clean up his apartment, buy him some food, supplies, and this, so forth. Got friendly with him. Within a period of a few weeks, he was already taken to the hospital, and he was very, very serious, very serious. It looked like it was critical. He, at that point, wanted to write a will. He wrote a will, and he left the money that he had to the yeshiva. Had no idea how much money he had. He passed away, and when everything came together, it took a while to figure out what it was because he wasn't very organized about it, but he left the yeshiva $1 million. HaMekabel Olav Oil Toiro. When you accept, it didn't even start yet, it was a week before Rosh Chodesh Elul, but HaMekabel, you accept upon yourself, the Mishnah says, Reb Nechunya ben Hakona says, Reb Nechunya ben Hakona says that Hashem said it, Har Sinai, and passed it to Moshe Rabbeinu, who taught it to Yeshua, to the Skenim, to the Neviim, and passed it down to Reb Nechunya ben Hakona, and passed it down to us, Ad Hayom Hazeh, in the third parak of Pirkei Avos. If you mekabel the oil Torah, if you accept upon yourself the burden of Torah, then the burden of Malchus, and the burden of Derech Eretz, of taxes, and of making money, making parnosa, all of those things will be miraculously removed, as in fact they were. So I guess it's all about recognizing Hashem's involvement in our lives. If we appreciate His Torah, if we realize that the Torah is the blueprint for creation, if we take the promises and the guarantees and the directives of the Torah with seriousness, then we put our trust in Hashem, and that's it. He delivers. He will deliver. He does deliver. And we recognize that chesed and develop the ability to have greater and greater trust in Him. We could go on and on with such stories, but I think the trick really is that we discover these things ourselves. Families, everybody has in their tradition stories. Families who have Holocaust survivors can tell stories even though they may not realize them, but they're so miraculous. I'll never forget, this was yet before the Holocaust, an elderly gentleman told me the story of how his father was close to the Tsar in Tsarist Russia, and he walks in one day, and the Bolshevik Revolution had just begun, and the young Bolsheviks have his mother at the end of a bayonet, and they're ready to attack her, to hurt her, to kill her, whatever. He jumps in the middle and he tries to save his mother. They arrest him and try him in a tribunal for treason against the Bolshevik Revolution, and they decide that he's guilty of the death penalty, and tomorrow morning they're going to take him out to shoot him. And it seems another young man there who was one of these Bolshevik revolutionaries volunteered to shoot. Walks out to the yard, takes him out there, and this young man aims his gun and then looks at him in the face and says, "Do you recognize me? Do you remember me?" She says, "No." He says, "3 years ago we were schoolmates, and I was a very poor boy, and I needed a couple of dollars, a couple of whatever it is, to take a haircut and to get a shirt and to whatever it is, and you gave me the money. You were so kind to give me the money. I want to pay you back. Run for your life." And he escaped, and he lived many years in this country till a very, very old age. And little things like this, what some would call coincidences, but to the sophisticated and to the sensitive, sophisticated mind and the sensitive heart, this is clearly the hand of Hashem. And these stories can be the sources of insight into Hashem's intimate and intricate, detailed involvement in every aspect of our lives. And we can connect with Him, feel close to Him, and then rely on Him. That just as He has so many times in the past helped us with these situations, and He does get involved, and He does care, and in the midst, and sometimes if out of the jaws of difficulty and suffering, He does things to save us and to help us. And when we recognize that, it gives us a greater sense of trust in Him, and we're more capable of developing that reliance. And I mean, I don't want to get carried away with personal stories, although that's what happens. But there are just so many different incidences. I remember once also in the years with the yeshiva that there was a Friday morning and my wife calls me up and she says, "I don't have fish for Shabbos." It was 9 o'clock in the morning, I remember. So I said, "So why don't you buy fish?" She says, "I have no money." So I said, "Neither do I." So she said, "What should I do?" He says, "Have bitochen in Hashem. Trust Hashem's kindness. Hashem cares. He wants you to have fish for Shabbos. Trust Him and we'll have fish for Shabbos." Fine. 2 minutes later, to be accurate, it was probably closer to 5 minutes later, a young man walks into my office. I was studying in our yeshiva, in our besmedrash, and I said to him, "Where were you yesterday?" It was the Friday after Thanksgiving. I said, "How come you didn't come to learn?" He says, "Well, my father wanted to take the boat out, and he wanted me to go with him, so I took off the day, and we went, took the boat, we went fishing. But look what we brought for you." And it was a bag full of fish. Just 5 minutes later, these things happen. They happen to all of us. They happen all the time. They happen more to those who are alerted to, recognizing of, and awaiting for those events to take place. And the more that we realize the reality of these events of hashkocha protis, of Hashem's individual supervision of our lives, it's to that degree that we could find more confidence in His kindness, in His mercy, and develop the ability to feel emotionally that sense of bitochen. And that sense of bitochen is infinite in its power to help us and to bring about the benefits of life for us. And these are things that... Talk about fish. Just another thing comes to mind. I mean, it's almost ironic. Again, another time, this was already living here in New York. My wife calls me up. Yeshiva life sometimes has these difficulties, but don't worry, Hashem provides. She says, "I don't have fish for Shabbos." And it was the same thing, "I don't have any money to buy." I said, "Okay, don't worry, Hashem will help." It wasn't more than a few minutes I was walking along on Central Avenue, and one of the restaurant people or shopkeepers there calls me in, someone I know, a very fine religious family, and says, "You know, we just started, they started like a takeout division of their restaurant, and we just started making fish for Shabbos, gefilte fish, and I'd like you to take some home to your wife to see how she likes it." Out of nowhere, I don't think they overheard my, I know they didn't overhear my telephone conversation, and just like that, beautiful, delicious fish. And these things happen and go on and go on. And we have to look for them in our own lives. We have to find them in other people's lives. We have to focus on them and be ever and endlessly confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. He cares for us. He loves us. His purpose of creation was only to do chesed. Therefore, he's certainly highly motivated to do chesed for us. And we begin to feel, not just intellectually know that he does kindness, but begin to feel that kindness, the comfort with that kindness, the confidence in that kindness. That gives us that sense of bitochen Hashem, he's going to take care of us in every way. And that gives us the strength to cope with so many, with all of the difficulties of life. And I would just like to conclude with one little, I believe is a very famous story, but I think it's something that should and must be kept in mind at all times. The story is told of an individual who came to the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he told Rabbi Yisrael that he's in need of 10,000 ruble, and desperately needs it. What should he do? And Rabbi Yisrael said, buy a lottery ticket and trust, have bitochen in Hashem, that you're going to win the 10,000 ruble. Buys a lottery ticket, and he's trusting and trusting and trusting, and again, weeks go by, he doesn't win anything. Comes back finally to Rabbi Yisrael, he says, I have such trust that I'm going to win, and it doesn't seem to happen. I guess it's an ongoing ticket. So he says, do you have trust in Hashem 100%? He says, yeah. Are you sure you're still trusting him that you're going to win the 10,000 ruble? He says, yeah, I have 100%. But it doesn't seem to happen. So Rabbi Yisrael says to him, will you sell me the ticket for 5,000 ruble? And the guy jumps at the metzia, jumps at the opportunity, says, of course, 5,000 is better than, 5,000 in the hand. And Rabbi Yisrael chastises him and says to him, you see, had you truly had that trust in me, you never would have sold it for anything less than the 10,000 ruble that you trusted that you would derive from that ticket. We have to be very careful that we don't fool ourselves. Because when we fool ourselves, bitochen is not a speech. Bitochen is not a song. Bitochen is not a is not just an intellectual awareness. It's an emotional feeling. It's a deep-rooted sense of Hashem's kindness and mercy and an emotional reliance, hope, reliance, confidence, and then total trust that Hashem, in fact, is going to help us. If a person can achieve that bitochen, then life is a life of, as the Chovas HaLevavos says, menuchas hanefesh. It's a life of tranquility. There's no worry. The Vilna Gaon says it's comparable like a baby who finished nursing by his mother. His world is complete. He knows no lack. I imagine it means he probably doesn't even realize he's going to be hungry again in another couple of hours. My world is complete. I have everything. I have that relationship with Hashem. I have that confidence in his kindness. And that can give me the strength to go on, the strength to face all of the difficulties of life with a renewed vigor, to be there for my entire family, to be able to guide, to lead, to uplift, to inspire everyone else around me, and to be able to find peace and menuchas hanefesh and simchas hachaim, despite all of the trials and tribulations which we go through all too often in our existence in this world, and we can derive from them the ultimate closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that overriding sense of bitochen Hashem.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority.com. priority-1.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.